Hey everybody, this is Shay McCormick from the Cheap Home Grow Podcast. And on today's show, I have Michael Ebenhart from Doc Bud Hybrix on Instagram. He comes on the show today to talk about nutrient density and why every home grower should care about the food that is in their soil. Michael goes into detail about nutrient density, and at around the 23-minute mark, he explains why every home grower should bud wash their cannabis. Please remember to press subscribe and enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to the Cheap Home Grow Podcast, a show for individuals that want to learn more about growing cannabis indoors. This is a podcast dedicated to helping you with your indoor growing adventure. You'll learn how to grow your own and not have to rely on others for your medicine. The Cheap Home Grow Podcast will also feature timely interviews with cannabis industry veterans shaping the culture and politics of cannabis. All right, here is your host, Shane McCormick, and the Cheap Home Grow Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Shane McCormick from the Cheap Home Grow Podcast. And on today's show, we have Michael Ebenhart from Doc's Bud Hybrix on Instagram, and today he is going to be coming on the show, and he is going to be talking about newt density, bricks, and bud washing. So, Michael, if you could you please tell my audience a little bit about yourself, and then we can get right into the topic of conversation.
Sure. So, hey everyone, and thanks, Shane.
Sure.
I'm Michael Ebenhart. I've led a sort of a funny career in the cannabis space and kind of getting into it. I started out gardening as a kid, helping my folks in the backyard, discovered I liked spicy food in high school and took up hot pepper growing and got kind of obsessed with that and learning about super soil recipes from that. And I think my senior year of high school, I grew 88 varieties of hot peppers in Southern California.
Wow.
And that gives you an idea kind of the degree of nerd I was, I suppose, and maybe still am. Okay. But, I wasn't really even exposed to cannabis, and even in college up until about graduate school. And I was the guy keeping chickens there.
Oh, really?
So I kind of fell into this. Yeah. Kind of get a roundabout way again here, I guess.
Really?
Yeah. But, I guess that's a little bit about my cannabis background. I fell into it. In graduate school, I found that it really helped me deal with sort of stresses of getting through the thesis and everything there. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I led a short career in technology, finance, and software, fast and furious career, which I enjoyed very, very much. But left that to chase greener pastures. I saw the emerging cannabis industry, and I was getting into nutrient density at the time.
Okay.
So what the heck is nutrient density?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was going to be my first question there. I mean, coming from, a new home grower's perspective, I mean, what is nutrient density, and why should a home grower care about nutrient density?
Great. So, right. How much food is in our food?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question that nutrient density seeks to answer. Nutrient density tells us literally the amount of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, sugars, oils, proteins, flavonoids, and other goodies are in what we are eating. So I'll give you an example of how this has changed over time. Nutrient density is getting worse. Most of us are aware, at least sort of generally, of the sort of chemical practices and big agriculture and how it is slowly sort of ruining the soil fertility, especially here in the United States. Well, there's some sort of specific examples of this, and I was chasing this rabbit hole when I got into cannabis. Mm-hmm. And this rabbit hole, here's one example. In 2004, an article was published in the Journal of the American College of Nutrition. They compared the nutritional differences of 43 different garden crops from 1950 to 1999. So you got almost 50 years where they're comparing 40 plus garden crops. And they found that on average of the 13 different nutrients they were measuring in these crops, mm-hmm. about 40% of them had declined.
Really?
So, and not just declined, but declined massively below historic averages, to the point where the soil is questionably irreparable in some places.
Okay.
Right. So I was kind of chasing this rabbit hole, and I thought, well, what the heck? Is there a good way to grow our food? I mean, clearly, you know, we've got the quantity thing down. Mm. Clearly, no one grows corn or soy better than we do here today in the United States, and it saved a lot of lives. We fed a lot of mouths. It's not all bad, you know. I don't want it to come across that way. It's just that there's, in the scales of justice, maybe on the left we have quantity, and on the right we have quality.
Mm.
Well, in our quest for industry, the United States has done a damn good job of quantity, a damn good job.
Mm-hmm.
No one does ag better than we do.
Okay.
That being said, if we had made that left-hand turn instead of a right-hand turn and decided to chase quality instead of quantity, we would have been studying nutrient density, and we would have been studying bricks, and we would have been studying how we can grow an ear of corn that is more healthy than eating two or three ears of corn, instead of how can I grow 3 ears of corn in the shortest amount of time. They're just different goals. It's a different way to grow your crop. And with this emerging organic movement that's been happening last, what, say, decade or two?
Decade, yeah, sure.
Yeah, we see more people focusing on this. And so, you know, in my head, this kid coming out of tech thinking, what's the next big thing? How can I get a hold of this? I'm thinking, well, heck, cannabis is the next big thing.
Right.
And I think nutrient density is the next big thing. And I thought, well, who's doing both?
Mm-hmm.
And I found one guy. One guy on the internet doing this. One guy. He's based here in California.
Okay.
He's a real doctor by day. And he was calling his products Doc Bud's Hybrix Blend.
Okay.
And this guy had spent 6 years doing laboratory adjustments on every single crop. So he's probably doing 4 turns a year indoors. And he's lab testing everything. And he's Brix testing everything. And he's only making changes in his soil that will make his plants measure a higher Brix reading. And that Brix reading is a nutrient density reading. Brix and nutrient density are kind of synonymous terms. They're very highly correlated.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, that was my next question. I mean, they, you know, because we talked about this last week a little bit on the phone. But I mean, you know, how, or I'll tell you what, I mean, what are Brix and how are they correlated to newt density?
Yeah. So, well, I feel like I'm throwing a lot of information at the listeners here. And honestly, this could easily be a semester long class. and insert disclaimer here. I'm not an expert. Right. Mm-hmm. I am a hobbyist who's fallen in love with this stuff. But I can give you what I know.
Sure.
Okay. Brix and nutrient density are highly correlated.
Right. And really, yeah. OK. I mean, you know, they are, I mean, as you're about to mention, they are highly, you know, highly correlated. But I mean, why? I mean, you know, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, why should a home grower care about, you know, Brix, about newt density, and you know why?
Right.
You know, I mean, why even get into?
Who cares?
Yeah,
right.
Right. I mean, like, why? I mean, what's the, you know, what's the, you know, what is the point there?
So, there are many points,
mm-hmm.
But well, heck, I'll just start listing them, I suppose. So, a nutrient dense plant mm-hmm. is a healthy plant.
Okay.
If you've got a high Brix reading, you will have a healthy plant. And there are charts that, you know, I would encourage your listeners to Google on Hybrix chart, nutrient density charts, and you guys can test in your homes the produce that you're buying from the store. And what you'll notice is, we'll say a carrot that has a higher Brix reading than another carrot, that one with the higher Brix reading won't just look better, it will literally taste sweeter.
Mm.
It will taste better, and we're more attracted to these plants. Now, what does that mean for the cannabis home grower?
Right.
Well, it turns out that healthy plants are naturally more pest resistant, naturally more drought tolerant, heat tolerant, mm-hmm. cold tolerant, mold resistant. They taste, they smell, they store better. They have higher terpene contents.
Mm.
We focus so much on the health of our plant as students of this Hybrix methodology that we're not yellowing out our plants at the end of the growth cycle. We're not trying to flush them out. We are feeding the soil up until the very end because it's the soil that we're concerned with. And if we can keep that dialed in, keep our CEC, our cation exchange capacity, the electrical measurement in that soil exactly where we want to be. It turns out we don't get mites. We don't get aphids. We don't get root rot. We don't get botrytis. We don't get any of these problems. And all we're doing is growing a very healthy plant, in an organically minded way. That's really all it is.
Okay. And this is all happening. The typical problems that a home grower, undergoes when they grow their own, are some things that you just mentioned there. But what you are proposing is that if you focus on your newt density, then all of your problems or most of your problems will essentially go away, pretty much.
Yes. Okay. That's right. The hardest thing for us as home growers, especially as home growers with the budget in mind, nothing kills me more than being on a forum online and saying, hey, I don't have much money. How can I fix this problem? Mm-hmm. And having six guys with grow rooms that are four times bigger than yours saying, oh, just put an AC in there or oh, just do that. It's okay. Right. If I had $500, and another $100 a month for the electricity, maybe I'd try that.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
This is what's cool about Hybrex growing. If you can grow a healthy plant, you don't need to go buy your SNS 209 to spray your mites. You don't have to go out and buy more of these products. Look, capitalism it's set up in a way where these companies that have fertilization interests, they also all sell pesticide. That's not a coincidence.
Right.
when we don't fertilize the soil and feed the soil in the right way, the plants might look good, but they are, in fact, internally deficient. Mm. I like to think of it in a lot of ways as it's just cheating. We can pump our plants full of salts and we can use synthetics to get a job done. And you know what? It works. And you know what? In terms of quantity, it pumps out a lot of quantity.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, you're going to put your plant in a vulnerable position. You're going to put it in a place where you can get those mites, where you have insects attracted to a plant that they don't need to be attracted to. A cannabis is naturally pest resistant in the wild when it's growing in a healthy soil under the sun. Problem is, we're putting it inside under our Mars Hydro LEDs, right? We're trying to save a buck here.
Sure.
And that's fine, and it can be done. But we have to recognize the cost of that. Mm-hmm. And there are many. And for me, I like simple solutions. If I can think, well, what do I got to do? Mm-hmm. I just got to worry about this one thing, and all of those problems go away. I like that.
Okay.
Now, it's not a fix-all. You still need an environment, right? You can't grow a Hybrex plant if you can't get your tent temperature below 90 degrees. Mm-hmm. You got to do that first.
Right.
But once your environment's in the right place, I would say yes, Hybrex will solve your problems.
Okay. Well, I mean, how do you make sure that your soil is properly
where it needs to be?
Right. Exactly. I know that you are talking to me, but you are talking to really the other person on this line. I mean, what would you say to that person who's either brand new or relatively new to home growing? What do you say to that person and basically, I guess, in a way, convince them, how do you tell that person how to make sure that their soil is the proper density to grow at home? What are some things that they should and shouldn't do?
Where to start? It's a nightmare. I don't want to underplay the difficulty of trying to do this at home. It's difficult. That's what the whole company is about, right? Making that easy. I was the pepper guy. I was the TLO, True Living Organics, Calacmus Coots Mix. I've done super, I've done them all. I'm a big fan of making your own soil and figuring that stuff out. And the short answer to your question is, well, you can go buy a kit off the shelf and follow instructions and you'll have it. The long answer is there's a lot of folks out there trying to do this on their own. And some things are more important than others. For example, calcium is king. right? None of the off-the-shelf garden soils, if you want to get your soil into Hybrix territory, none of them have the amount of calcium that we need for a nutrient-dense Hybrix soil, okay. Right? And to be clear, calling the soil nutrient-dense in Hybrix isn't really appropriate. It's the produce that is nutrient-dense and the produce that is Hybrix. But for our purposes, as people focused on how I can do this myself at home, mm-hmm. we'll just say that the soil is Hybrix. In other words, the soil has the right balance of minerals, right? It's where we want it to be. There are four foundations to this.
Okay.
And I don't want to ramble at our listener. I don't want to take us too far off the deep end. Quick, the four foundations. Number one, we mineralize the soil.
Okay.
That's a huge amount of calcium we're talking about. Literally, you know, not to spill too much of the beans, but somewhere around 18-1 mm-hmm. calcium to potassium and calcium to magnesium. Both of those, you want 18-1 for our plants to really be singing in their soil. The second foundation is microbiology.
Okay.
A lot of folks out there will pour a little blackstrap molasses into their activated compost tea. By the way, I'm a big fan of compost teas, and that's great, mm-hmm. right? But like sugar for your body, you're going to see a quick spike up and a quick crash down. It's mm-hmm. the same with microbiologies. So we want our bacteria, we want our fungi, we want these things eating the rocks that are in the soil, not the sugar, right? And so we want to make sure those are in the right balance and in the right number. Major and minor elements, same thing. We need nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and magnesium, yes, but we don't want them in there willy-nilly. We want them in there in the exact right balance. And when it comes to Hybrix, oftentimes that means a lot less nitrogen, a lot less phosphorus, and a lot less potassium than is in any off-the-shelf soil. There are some decent ones out there. For the company I'm working for, we amend a ProMix. We mix earthworm castings and ProMix, and we amend it, and you're good to go. Right. So it's not like it's super difficult to do this, but it's there, all right? Now, the fourth pillar is the soil energy. I mentioned this earlier, and luckily you've had several guests before that have talked about the energy, the electrical charge in the soil, mm-hmm. the cation exchange capacity of the soil, the CEC. The father of Hybrix growing, his name is Dr. Kerry Reams. It's rumored to have been friends with Einstein. His whole thing was that it is not chemicals, but it is electricity that dictates most of the health of the soil. And he took it one step further and spent his whole life talking about how it affects human beings as well. Separate topic. So he obsessed over this CEC, and he played with the CEC, and he said, well, look, it turns out that for most plants, I want to keep it in a certain range. And it turns out that if I'm using a certain kind of ionic drench or a certain kind of cationic drench, I can either stimulate vegetative or reproductive growth.
Okay.
So kind of going back to the story, mm-hmm. I found Doc, right? And Doc is producing this kit. Doc spent 6 years doing 3 to 4 turns a year where he was constantly changing these drenches and changing the ionic and cationic levels in the drenches and dialing it back into the soil to figure out exactly what produced the highest Brix reading in these plants. Mm-hmm. There are some hobby growers that we're familiar with. I mentioned to you in our previous conversation in northern Italy. Mm-hmm. Some of these guys are getting Brix readings in the 20s. For their cannabis plants. That's absurd.
Right. Okay.
So to give our listeners just a quick sort of, because there's no cannabis chart online yet, right? But for those of us in the know, if you're hitting over 12 on a refractometer mm-hmm. with your Brix reading, you're in Hybrix territory.
Right.
13 or higher, you're real happy. Mm-hmm. If you've ever gotten the pleasure of consuming or smoking a plant in the 15 or 16 range, mm-hmm. you'll be able to tell people about it. It'll put a smile on your face. That the taste tends to be sweeter. It lasts longer. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've got a lot to say about this stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Please do, Mike.
I can't stand the feeling that I'm just sort of the crazy guy on the street corner with holding a sign over his head saying the end is near.
Yeah. No.
That's how I feel sometimes. But I truly believe that, as a society, if we started focusing more on quality
and versus
less
quantity.
On quantity, mm-hmm. we'd be doing so much better. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It's not like we have to sacrifice quantity here. Right. Hybrix beats out quantity. We're growing plants in 7-gallon pots mm-hmm. that are putting out 7 to 10 ounces this right. without topping them. I mean, this isn't a joke. They really do produce well. Mm. But it's not as commercially viable as hydroponics.
Right.
And because it's not as commercially viable as using synthetic nutrients and hydroponics and maybe doing DWC, it's not going to change the industry. And so it's up to home growers like us to say, you know what? No, I demand higher quality.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, how, I tell you what, I mean, how would, I mean, I know you've been, you know, I know you have been talking about this, you know, really in the past, you know, say about 20 minutes or so, but I mean, you know, I mean, how can a home grower, like, basically combine the two of getting a high Brix reading and also getting quantity as well, because I mean, you know, as you know, I mean, I have a lot of people that come on my show, and you know, they grow their own, and a big part of what they do and what they're really concerned about, I would say a lot of them, not every single one of them, but a lot of them are concerned about their yield, right? And
of course,
and they don't want to sacrifice their yield for quality. I mean, maybe some do, but you know, I mean, if you want to really get your money back in that first or second grow, I mean, you have to yield pretty much a fairly substantial, well, you know, depending on your grow up, I mean, you get a yield anywhere between maybe 2 and, you know, maybe four ounces, maybe. And again,
sure.
I mean, that
sure.
depends. So, I mean, like how would you, you know, how would you combine that say super high Brix rating of 20 with yield? I mean, what is, you know, what would your approach, you know, be in a situation like that?
So yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of factors at play here, but when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, if someone is strictly after quantity, we're never, like that person and myself, we're never going to see eye to eye on this plan. And that's happened multiple times. I mean, we've had multiple meetings with nurseries and with smaller operations here in California interested in going high Brix. And we go, look, you know, our program will put out 1.5 to 2 ounces a square foot outdoors typically. And that's phenomenal for a lot of folks, right, when they say an ounce is the industry average. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Indoors, you got guys doing 3.5 pounds per light, you know, and it's hydroponic and it's using a lot of nitrates, and that's fine. Look, it's just a different method. If you want quantity, go for it.
Right.
We're after quality. And it turns out we're not sacrificing much quantity to do it, right? Not much.
Right.
And we're really only sacrificing when you compare us up against people that are really good at what they do in hydroponics. And that's just the bottom line. You know, if you're after quantity, go for it. Mm. We're after quality.
Right. All right, Michael. Well, I mean, let's switch the conversation a little bit, because in my intro, I talked about bud washing, right? And really, I guess this correlates a little bit, you know, a little bit with Brix and density, but I mean, you know, I guess my first question is, and it's a pretty basic question, you know, why would a home grower care about bud washing, and, you know, and talk about that some?
Yeah. So, look, I like to talk about bud washing. I like to use the following example.
Sure.
Let's say you've got a good friend, someone you trust, and you know, he invites Shane, he invites you and your lady over for dinner. You know, he goes, look, I've got this beautiful organic garden in the backyard. You know, we grow lettuces and chives, and it's really nice. How about I have you guys over for dinner and we can eat something right out of the ground? And you say, great, that sounds wonderful. Well, you get to his house, and he pulls you into the backyard, and he shows you the garden. You go, wow, these are beautiful plants. This is very nice. He goes, oh, thank you very much. And he takes a head of lettuce out of the ground, and he plops it on your plate, and he hands it to you, and he expects you to eat it.
Right. Yeah.
You may look at him sideways, right? But guess what, guys? That's what we're doing in this freaking industry right now. We're pulling plants from the ground, and we're hanging them upside down. And all of the dust and all of the insects and anything that was on that plant throughout its entire life is probably stuck to those real sticky trichomes. They're real sticky, right?
Right.
And if you can touch it and you can feel it, then it's there. And here's the problem. We're smoking that stuff, right? We're not just eating it. Right. And when we smoke things, when we combust things chemically, we make them radically more bioavailable to our bodies. And what that means is it's very dangerous to smoke things that you shouldn't be smoking. More dangerous than eating it, say, in the lettuce example.
Sure.
So we wash our buds for a few reasons. I'd say that's the biggest. The biggest is we wash everything else, don't we? So what the hell?
Why not, right?
Number one. Number two, it doesn't hurt it.
Right.
It doesn't hurt the plant. When you do it right, and there is a, you know, there is a bit of an art to it. You don't want to be smashing your buds into the bucket. We're not making bubble hash.
Right.
We want to be gentle. We're not trying to bump the trikes off. Mm-hmm. But what we are doing is we are rinsing any dust, debris, skin cells, hair, stuff you don't think is in your grow tent or in your grow room is in there. Guys, I promise you, it's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't know until you wash some buds.
Mm-hmm.
So I would really like to encourage everyone listening to this podcast. This is not a product for sale. This is nothing like that. We are trying to do the right thing for the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Please, on your next harvest, take a cola and wash your buds. If you want to learn more about it, I'll discuss it quickly here.
Mm-hmm.
You can always see videos of it and see full-on discussions and debates on our Instagram, DocBuds High Bricks, or on the website, DocBudsBricks.com, DocBudsBricks.com. We have a bud washing tab. So here's the process. You're going to get four buckets,
mm-hmm.
5 gallon Home Depot style buckets.
Sure.
And you'll fill them with good, clean water.
Mm-hmm.
When I say good, clean water, I mean filtered water. If you wouldn't water your plants with it, don't rinse them in it.
Okay. All right.
Typically the big fan leaves are taken off the plant before this time, at least with the way that I train my plants. But if you're someone that hasn't trained your plant at all, you do well to remove the fan leaves before you do this. They tend to block the water from hitting the buds.
Okay.
We want the water to get in those buds. So you'll take your cola or two, maybe one or two in each hand, and you'll dunk and swish and swirl it around in each one of these buckets, right? Drying it before it goes to the next one. And then you'll hang it on the line and cure it as you normally would.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be dry in 3 to 4 hours. But is it just water in those buckets? Well, no, it's not. The last two, yes, rinse buckets full of water. In those first two buckets, the first one will often put hydrogen peroxide, good old H2O2.
Sure.
That extra oxygen molecule does wonders to kill any pathogens that might have made their way onto the plant. And it's perfectly safe. It dissolves and it goes into the air just 30 to 45 minutes after being poured in there.
Mm-hmm.
Second bucket, well, that one does the real cleaning. We put a quarter cup of lemon juice and a quarter cup of baking soda into that bucket.
Okay.
And this is the one that gets a lot of people off guard. They go, whoa, what's going on? We're putting chemicals in the butt.
Right.
No, we're making a surfactant washing solution. Anyone familiar with the viticulture industry or in the wine industry or in a number of different industries knows that this is an organic produce wash that is used very commonly on farms. We don't use fresh lemon juice. We actually use the stuff in the bottle because the sulfates in there actually help us in this purpose, right? So same thing, 15 to 30 seconds in each bucket.
Mm-hmm.
After you've gone through those first two, you rinse it in the last two. Hang it up on the line, 3 to 4 hours, it's dry. 7 to 10 days, it's cured, goes in the jar. You know, I like to put a little Bovita in there and
sure.
let it sit for 30 days before I smoke it.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that, the advantages of bud washing,
mm-hmm.
you'll get much cleaner smoke.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're not banging it around too much in there, you're not going to lose hardly any trichomes. In fact, a lot of the tests that we've done, the lab tests, show a higher THC content in washed buds
mm-hmm.
versus unwashed buds.
Really?
Now, how do we explain that? Because, you know, for damn sure we're knocking a few heads off. You can just barely pick up some of these nugs and heads will fall off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're hitting them in water, certainly you're losing a few.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we end up with more THC with a washed bud versus unwashed bud?
Right.
That's the sort of shockingly disturbing amount of contaminant that is in the unwashed bud. It is weighing it down so much that when you wash it, the THC is actually a greater percentage of the total weight than it was before that.
Okay. Yeah. So. All right. So in a bottle like that, the THC doesn't wash away. It actually stays within the bud itself, which in turn, I guess, in terms of your I guess let's call it your THC yield, it will go higher. I'm assuming, right?
Right. In terms of percentage of weight.
Right. Okay.
When you rinse the dust and the whatever else is on those buds off of them, the THC, of course, the trichomes that remain will be heavier. You know, there will be a greater percentage of the weight of that bud than they were before the wash because that other stuff's not in there anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Michael. Listen, we've talked about bricks, about bud washing, about newt density, and really this is a question, right, that I like to ask everybody that comes on the show onto the Cheap Home Grow podcast. Is there any questions that I should be asking or any final statements that you would like to make before the show ends?
If folks are interested in figuring out how you want to learn what the bricks is of your plants now. You know, maybe you're not sold on this, but you're curious. Or maybe you want to test your stuff at home. Go online, go to Amazon, go to somewhere, and buy a refractometer. Okay. Refractometer. They're between $20 and $30. They're pretty dang affordable. Mm-hmm. And all you got to do to figure out what the bricks reading is on your cannabis plants that you're growing at home is take one of your fan leaves off that plant. If you got a garlic press around, a garlic crusher, those work real well. Mm-hmm. You can fold the leaf up and smush it into there and then crunch that sucker down and take a couple of those drops of leaf juice from your cannabis plant, put it on your refractometer and see what that number says. Okay. And unfortunately for a lot of folks, that number is going to be below 12. Mm-hmm. And 12 is really the low end, of high bricks. We see a lot of organic gardeners hitting 12, even occasionally 13, and that's a sign that they're doing it right, right? Mm-hmm. Anything that gets that number higher is a good thing. Whether you're buying our products or doing it on your own, I don't care. What I care about is people focusing on quality and not smoking stuff that they shouldn't be.
Right. Okay. Okay, Michael. Well, I think that was a good show, and listen, man, I really do appreciate you taking the time and talking about this stuff, and I would like to have you on the show again in the near future if that's okay with you.
Yeah, I'd like that. If anyone has questions, bring it on. The bud washing thing is a big debate. I know a lot of folks are really, I don't know why they're so against it when they wash their salad, but hey, to each their own. I'd love to, Shane. Thank you so much.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to my podcast with Michael. You can check him out on Instagram at DocBudHybrix. That's DocBudSHIGHBRIX. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and please remember to press the subscribe button. You can visit cheaphomegrow.com/episode50. to get show highlights. And please remember to sign up for my email list. Thanks, guys. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Cheap Home Grow podcast. We do our best to bring you quality content. Let's grow together. Please hit the subscribe button and take time to share this podcast with a friend. Visit cheaphomegrow.com for our database of interviews and information. Until next time, be safe and grow easy.